echoes, some distance apart, and one was accompanied by a pair of smaller satellites. Don wondered if he was already too late. In his mind's eye, he could picture the death struggle taking place in the water less than a mile ahead. Those two fainter blips would be the enemy, either Shark or Grampus, worrying a whale while one of its companions stood by in helpless terror, with no weapons of defense except its mighty flukes. Now he was almost close enough for vision. The TV camera in Sub-5's prow strained through the gloom, but at first could show nothing but the fog of plankton. Then a vast shadowy shape began to form in the center of the screen, with two smaller companions below it. Don was seeing, with the greater precision but hopelessly limited range of ordinary light, what the sonar scanners had already told him. Almost at once, he saw his mistake. The two satellites were calves, not sharks. It was the first time he had ever met a whale with twins. Although multiple births were not unknown, a cow could suckle only two young at once, and usually only the stronger would survive. He choked down his disappointment. His error had cost him many minutes, and he must begin the search again. Then came the frantic tattoo on the hull that meant danger. It wasn't easy to scare Benj, and Don shouted his reassurance as he swung Sub-5 round so that the camera could search the turgid waters. Automatically, he had turned toward the fourth blip on the sonar screen. The echo he had assumed from its size to be another adult whale, and he saw that, after all, he had come to the right place. "Jesus," he said softly. "I didn't know they came that big." He'd seen larger sharks before, but they had all been harmless vegetarians. This, he could tell at a glance, was a Greenland shark, the killer of the northern seas. It was supposed to grow up to 30 feet long, but this specimen was bigger than Sub-5. It was every inch of 40 feet from snout to tail, and when he spotted it, it was already turning in toward the kill. Like the coward it was, it had launched its attack at one of the calves. Don yelled to Benj and Susan and saw them racing ahead into his field of vision. He wondered fleetingly why porpoises had such an overwhelming hatred of sharks. Then he loosed his hands from the controls as the autopilot locked onto the target. Twisting and turning as agilely as any other sea creature of its size, Sub-5 began to close in upon the shark, leaving Don free to concentrate on his armament. The killer had been so intent upon his prey that Benj caught him completely unawares, ramming him just behind the left eye. It must have been a painful blow, an iron-hard snout backed by a quarter ton of muscle moving at 50 miles an hour is something not to be laughed at, even by the largest fish. The shark jerked round in an impossibly tight curve, and Don was almost jolted out of his seat as the sub snapped onto a new course. If this kept up, he'd find it hard to use his sting, but at least the killer was too busy now to bother about his intended victims. Benj and Susan were worrying the giant like dogs snapping at the heels of an angry bear. They were too agile to be caught in those ferocious jaws, and Don marveled at the coordination with which they worked. When either had to surface for air, the other would hold off for a minute until the attack could be resumed in strength. There was no evidence that the shark realized that a far more dangerous adversary was closing in upon it, and that the porpoises were merely a distraction. That suited Don very nicely. The next operation was going to be difficult unless he could hold a steady course for at least 15 seconds. At a pinch, he could use the tiny rocket torps to make a kill. If he'd been alone and faced with a pack of sharks, he would certainly have done so. But it was messy and there was a better way. He preferred the technique of the rapier to that of the hand grenade.